समन्ता चक्खावलेषु अत्र गच्छन्तु देवता सदमं मुनिराजस सुनन्तु सगमोखदं तमसवनकालो अयं बदन्त तमसवनकालो अयं बदन्त तमसवनकालो अयं बदन्त नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स So today, I would like to share with you contemplation of the mind. Yesterday, you have listened to talk about contemplation on feeling. So today, I want to move one step forward to share with you how to contemplate your mind. According to Satipatthana Sutta, Foundation of Mindfulness, in the Satipatthana Sutta, Buddha mentioned different stages of mind, about nine stages of mind. For example, Buddha mentioned a mind affected by greed, anger, delusion, by slow and contracted mind, or distracted mind, concentrated mind, liberated mind, and so on. Okay. And in the first stanza of Dhammapada, Buddha said, mind is forerunner of all phenomena. Mind is their chief. Mind make are there. If one act or speaks with impure mind, suffering follows one, like a wheel that follows the foot of an ox. This is the first stanza of Dhammapada. And the second stanza is, mind is foreigner. Mind is forerunner of all phenomena. Mind is their chief. Mind make are there. If one acts or speaks with pure mind, happiness follows one like a shadow that never departs. So we live in this world. All beings want happiness, avoid suffering. So for anyone who look or who seek for happiness, then he should learn the way how to contemplate the mind. Because Buddha said, with pure mind, then happiness follows one. With impure mind, suffering follows one. And all the defilements come from mental state. All the deformant come from the mind. Without the mind arises first, our body cannot act, right? Without mind arises, or mental state arises first, our speech. We cannot utter any wholesome speech or unwholesome speech. So, the bodily action and the verbal action, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, all rely on the state of the mind. And if we want to live happily, we don't want to We don't want to we don't want to reap any unwholesome resultant. Then we have to guard our mind now so that we will not perform any unwholesome karma. Therefore, if we want happiness, we must learn how to contemplate our mind so that we can guard our mind through mindfulness. As Buddha also said, a guarded mind brings happiness. Okay, so having known the importance of mind, we want to know the skill, the technique, how to contemplate the mind so that we can live happily. We can live happily and avoid all the unwholesome karma performed through physical action or verbal action heated by the mind or led by the mind. Okay? So in the Satipatthana Sutta, Buddha said, when there is a lust arise in you, a practitioner must contemplate, the lust has arisen in me, and see the lustful mind as lustful mind. Don't see the lustful mind as myself. Don't see the lustful mind as me, or as I, or as I am. So first of all, we must, in order to know that lustful mind has arisen in you, we should have mindfulness, right? Without mindfulness, how you know the lust has arisen in your mind? Therefore, the first prerequisite that you should have in order to contemplate your mind is having mindfulness. I have explained to you already different meaning of mindfulness, the quality of mindfulness, the definition of mindfulness, and the practice of mindfulness. So, first you must have mindfulness in order to know that lust has arisen in me. If you have not that mindfulness, what will happen in you when a lustful mind arises? What will happen to you? What will happen? For most people, they will follow the lustful thought, right? Because he has no mindfulness to detect the arising of lust. Unable to detect the arising of lustful mind, one will follow that lust. When you follow that lust, you act, right? You act with body or you act with your speech. So at that action is called karma in Buddha's teaching. And since that mental state is lustful, so can the action or verbal, physical action and verbal action be wholesome or not? No, right? Because the mental state, the forerunner is unwholesome. Therefore, the speech and the action also will be unwholesome. So this is the bad sequence, consequences. The first bad consequences that when you are not mindful of your mental state, you perform bad karma, and every bad karma once performed leave behind karmic energy. That karmic energy will follow one's mental stream from life to life. And when that karma ripens, one have to suffer accordingly. So this is the first bad unwholesome consequences if you are not aware of your mental state when there is defilement in you. Okay? The second unwholesome result is that when that lust arises in you, if you are not mindful, you do not contemplate the mental state at all, then since inside our mind there is one latent defilement called Sakkaya Ditthi, identity view or personality view. So that latent defilements will come up to the surface, to the mind, come up to the surface and grasp that lustful mind as myself. This is called Sakkaya Ditthi, identity view. So that Sakkaya Ditthi, that defilement will come up to the surface and grasp that lustful mind as I, myself. And as a practitioner, we are developing more and more identity view, and our ego, our self become stronger and stronger simply because we are not mindful of our mental state. And we are far away from Nibbana, right? Nibbana is without self. But the moment we lose our mindfulness, the moment we don't have mindfulness, we are strengthening this ego. We are strengthening this self. This is the second unwholesome result if you are not mindful of your mental state. And thirdly, if we are not mindful of our mental state, we not only perform the unwholesome karma, as I mentioned just now, sometimes we may even hurt other people. Because the defilement is in us and we do not know how to control it, then we perform unwholesome karma, not only hurt ourselves, we also hurt other people. Especially for those, some men who cannot control their lust. So when the lust arises in them, like what is happened again and again in India. So they will rape the woman, the young girl and so on, and leave behind abundant suffering for the victims. So this is the third consequences. We hurt other people. So we come to understand it is essential, it is urgent, and it is important. We must have the skill to be able to note or contemplate our mind. And the first prerequisite is mindfulness, having mindfulness. So when a lustful mind arises in us, we mindful of it, then we contemplate lustful mind as lustful mind. Lustful mind as lustful mind. This is called mindfulness. And as we contemplate in this way, then we do not react. Right? Because we keep on contemplating, then the verbal and the physical cannot react. Because the mind is contemplating, so the physical and the verbal cannot react. Only one action can be what? Only one karma can be performed at one time. So when we contemplate lustful mind, this wholesome mental karma, and the body, verbal and action at that moment give in to the mental karma. Right? So we stop the unwholesome verbal action and unwholesome physically action. So in this sense, mindfulness is likened the brick in a car. For example, you drive your car, then you come across a red light. I think all of you know how to drive the car except me, right? So when you come across the red light, automatically you will step your brake, right? So that stepping your brake in order to stop. Otherwise, you will meet with an you will meet with accident. In the same way, mindfulness behaves like a brake system in a car. The moment you have mindfulness, then you stop reacting. You do not react impulsively according to your impulsion, according to your mental state. So when you are mindful of irritating mind or lustful mind as lustful mind, then your body and verbal cannot act. So you stop short at the mental level. So at this moment, you save yourself. You protect yourself from accident. We call karma accident, not car accident. We call karma accident. So you protect yourself from karma accident. And you also protect your others. Because when you meet with accident, other people also suffer, right? Not only you suffer, other people also suffer. So you protect yourself and you protect others. Therefore, it's so important to have mindfulness in regard to your mental state, whatever mental state that arises in your mind. So first, we apply mindfulness. Lustful mind as lustful mind. Lustful mind as lustful mind. But mindfulness, although mindfulness is so important in the practice of four foundations of mindfulness, but mindfulness itself cannot realize Nibbana. Right? What mental factors that can realize Nibbana? What mental factors that is conducive for the realization of Nibbana? Wisdom. Therefore, mindfulness alone, lustful mind as lustful mind, not enough. But first, prerequisite. Secondly, we have to apply wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom sees things as they really are. What are the things as they really are? What are the things first? Let me explain to you step by step. What are the things? As a practitioner, Vipassana meditator, Vipassana practitioner, insight meditator, we want to see things as they really are. As they really are, we put aside first. We want to see things. What things? What things? Four elements is one. Yes, five aggregates. Four elements is under form aggregate. Five aggregate. So we want to see things. These things are five aggregates. Now, as they really are. Okay, what is the meaning as they really are? Yep, exactly. Anicca, dukkha, anatta. So, as a Vipassana practitioner, you have to focus to see things. What are the things? Five aggregates of clinging as they really are. What as they really are? As impermanent, suffering, and non-self. So, if you practice insight, you have to limit your scope. This is your scope. Five aggregates as impermanent, suffering, and non-self. Okay, now mental. We say we are aware of our lustful mind. Lustful mind is mental state, right? It's under what? It's under, because five aggregate, we have sankhara, we have form aggregate, this four element. Then we have feeling aggregate. We have talked this yesterday. Then we have perception aggregate. We have sankhara aggregate, formation aggregate. So this last food, greed, is under sankhara aggregate. And another consciousness aggregate. So when we see mental state, last food mind as last food mind, we are contemplating sankhara aggregate. If this Dhamma Nupassana, under Dhamma Nupassana. But under Citta Nupassana, contemplation of mind, this one under my contemplation. Okay, so mind contemplation and Dhamma contemplation are very close. Sometimes it's how to call superimposed. Okay, so just now I mentioned first we must have mindfulness. Secondly, we must apply wisdom to see this last full mind as impermanent. So mentally we note, mentally we label. Don't speak out. Speak silently in your mind and say, this last full mind is impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. When you say impermanent, what is the benefit? Although you may argue with me, say that I say impermanent, impermanent, but it's still there. It persists. It does not disappear. You may argue with me. But this is not the impermanence fault. This is whose fault? Whose fault? Simply because your mindfulness and wisdom is not sharp enough. Because you are beginners. You are just learning. Just like you are just learning to walk. Like baby learning to walk. How can you walk very straightly? Cannot. He has to fall down many times, right? In order to learn to balance. Similarly, so when you first contemplate last full mind as that last full mind, you do not see it passes away, or you do not see it does not belong to me. This is not the fault of nothing. This is the fault of your immature wisdom. But keep on repeating will make the wisdom mature. Just like you first do the lesson, you don't know how to do. But you keep on do the same exercise again, then you become master of it. Similarly, you have to keep on repeating, keep on label it first until the impermanent, the perception of impermanent become deep-rooted in your mind. Otherwise, impermanent will not stay in your mind. So, you contemplate impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Take the mental state, take that last full mental state and contemplate it as impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. For somebody, they will see that last full state passes away. For somebody, it is not. It is not, then keep on contemplating it 100 times. Until the last mind gets tired. Then you win over it. Right? This is called effort. Continuous effort. Don't only contemplate 5 times, then give up. No. You have to contemplate it. Because if your mind is keep on contemplating last full thought as last full thought, how can the last full thought not disappear? Not possible. It will soon disappear. Okay? So there is one last thought mentioned in Satipatthana Sutta. And the second, and Buddha said, when the last mind disappears, he knows the last mind had disappeared. This is also very important. Many times, we only see arising, last full mind arising, and we do not see it passes away. If we only see phenomena arising and never see phenomena passing away, we entertain the view of sasatta dicchi, changjian, eternality view. Eternality view. So if only see arising, arising, you never see it passing away, then we entertain, we strengthen the sasatta dicchi, eternality view, which is also one of the extreme. Therefore, when last full mind passes away, mentally we also have to note passing away, disappearing, disappearing, vanishing, vanishing, or you can note passing away, impermanent, impermanent again. So not only during its arising, you have to note impermanent, during his passing away, you also have to note passing away or impermanent, so that you will not entertain the perception or the wrong view of eternality. Yesterday, through interview, I get to know many people see the pain passing away, but they never note passing away, passing away. You have to note, okay? So that you see both arising and passing away. Every noting strengthens your perception of impermanence. It counts, Every noting counts. Okay, the next one, Buddha say, anger. When the mind is affected by anger. So when the anger arises in you, do you know that? No? Do you know or you do not know? You know, right? But you know it with mindfulness or without mindfulness. Mostly we know it without mindfulness. So if we know it with mindfulness, then we will make a mental label. Mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger. You have to label it. Or you label it angry mind as angry mind. Angry mind as angry mind. Not angry mind as myself. Wrong labeling lead you suffering, lead to suffering. So you label angry mind as angry mind, or mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger. So if you label in this way, then this is called mindfulness. For beginners, you label in this way. After you become proficiency in this skill, you don't have to label in that way. You immediately know and immediately contemplate impermanence. Because your mindfulness becomes sharper, faster. Then immediately you know, then you contemplate impermanent, not a self, and so on. Okay, so once you contemplate the mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger for a few times first, then later on apply what? Wisdom. Apply wisdom, contemplate this angry state of mind as impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. You don't look down to this simple labeling. I have one student, she was Dharma teacher, American also, because I used to teach in USA. So she was Dharma teacher. One day she come and join my retreat, and my frequent teaching is teaching how to contemplate impermanent. So, but first she doesn't have faith. She say, how can simply not impermanent can cause the impermanent to subside? She has no faith. But one day, early in the morning when she get up, she doesn't understand why. Her mind is full of anger. She cannot find the cause. What causes the anger to arise? And she think, oh, today my meditation gone. My mind is full of anger. How am I going to focus on my breath? So she was very upset. And suddenly she remember, my teaching is focused on contemplate of impermanence. Of the mental state. Then she said, okay, why not I try? So she tried, contemplate impermanent of his, of her anger. And very soon, she saw all the anger subside, leaving nothing behind in her heart. And after that, she can concentrate very well. On that day, her meditation goes very smoothly, because she can overcome her anger simply by label the impermanent of her mental state. And she was so excited, she come and report to me. When she came and reported to me, she said that the word of impermanence, just like a mantra, so effective. So when I go back home, I'm going to paste all over my house so that I will not forget. It's a good reminder, you paste it. Nah? So when every time the emotion comes, look at that impermanent, impermanent. Otherwise you forget. You carry away by your emotion, right? So you paste in your room, paste on top of refrigerator, or paste on the ceiling. So when you lie down, you see impermanent, impermanent. Okay, so whatever emotion come, impermanent, impermanent. I think next time our Appamada Vihari meditation should put the label impermanent on the back of the t-shirt to remind you, so I don't have to repeat many times. So when you see other people's t-shirt, then you contemplate impermanent, impermanent. Other people see your t-shirt also, they contemplate impermanent. This is a good idea, huh? Okay? Okay, so this is the power of impermanence, huh? Contemplate impermanent. So you contemplate the anger mind as impermanent, 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 then soon you will see it subside. Otherwise, if you do not contemplate in this way, your anger will become stronger and you will act according to your mental state. Then you suffer yourself, you suffer internally, and other people also get affected by your emotions. And this is the first. And then secondly, if you do not contemplate in this way, you strengthening your identity view, your ego become stronger. Your identity view, personality view, sakayariti become stronger, and you far away from attainment of sotapanna. So every noting counts, but right noting, correct noting. Correct noting is what? Noting impermanent, noting state of mind as a state of mind, not a self, not a person, not a being. All these are called yoniso mana sikara, wise attention. Okay. And when the angry mind disappears, you also have to note. Don't overwhelm by happiness. Anger disappear already, overwhelmed by happiness, and you grasp the happiness as myself, myself, myself again. No. So when the anger disappears, happiness takes over, right? Because so happy, I finally can see the disappearing of anger. And you get very happy, and you forget to note happiness as impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. You forget to note happiness as non-self, non-self. That's why it's very difficult to tackle the emotions. Why? It's very difficult to tackle, to detect the emotion or our mental state. Why? Because Buddha said, since long, long time, we have identified all our mental state as I, mine, myself already. Since long, long time, we are not so attached to the body. Why? Because body gives us a lot of suffering. When you sit in a meditation, here pain, there pain, not so. Then after pain disappear, another pain come again. After disappear, another pain come again. So you get very disenchanted with the body. Not only that, very soon your white hair grow, your skin become wrinkled, your teeth not so firm as before. Then your eyesight, you lose your clear eyesight. So the body changed so fast, soon become old. So you easily get disenchanted with the body. But no one get disenchanted with the mind. No, Buddha said, easily get disenchanted with the body because the change of the body is easily seen. You can see it very easily. But very difficult to get disenchanted with the mind because if it has been a long, long time, we identify our mental state as I, mine, myself. Therefore, very difficult to get disenchanted with it. Just now I say, you can note the anger, but the happiness comes, you forget to note again. You identify the happiness as myself again. So from this example, we can easily see it's so difficult to detect each state of the mind. For two main reasons. One is because the change of the mind is so fast, and our mindfulness is always low, so cannot catch up with the change of the mental state. And the second reason is that because it has been long time, we identify all mental state as I, my, myself. Okay? So when the anger mind disappear, we also have to note, passing away, impermanent, impermanent. Okay. And sometimes when the mind is concentrated, when mind is concentrated, the light appears, and people, you get so excited. They forget to note this concentrated mind as concentrated mind. They forget to note concentrated mind is not myself. So when the light disappears, then become disappointed again, and they forget to note disappointment, disappointed mind as disappointed mind, right? They don't note. So when they don't note, then their emotion is up and down, up and down, up and down. When the concentration is good, the emotion goes up very high. When the concentration is low, the emotion goes down very high, very low. So how to balance your emotion? If your mind is up and down, emotion is up and down all the time, then you cannot make speedy, stable progress. So when the mind is concentrated, you also have to note concentrated mind as concentrated mind. When you lose your concentration, it's okay, no problem. You still can rely on vipassana, right? It doesn't mean that you lose concentration, then the world has gone. No more hope for me. No. When you lose your concentration, you have to note unconcentrated mind as unconcentrated mind. And from that, you develop vipassana. From that, you develop insight. From that, you develop non-self. Right? So you must make your mind sharp, mindful, and not only stick to the concentration. Otherwise, and don't only expect good concentration. Otherwise, your emotion is up and down. Then you are wasting your time here. I'm teaching you the skill only. I cannot lead you to Nirvana. So I'm teaching you the skill, the technique, how to help you to progress smoothly in the path leading to Nirvana. But you have to follow the instruction. Otherwise, I also cannot do anything. Okay, so when you do not look concentrated mind, when the light appear very strongly, and during the interview, you say, oh, my light is so strong, so amazing, brilliant, and other people listen to you, they feel very unhappy. Very unhappy because I experienced nothing. And the person feel depressed, and he or she does not know how to contemplate the depressed mind as depressed mind. And they think that depressed mind as myself, and she don't like this person. Boastful, boasted, boast her light and so on. And the one who boast her light become conceited, right? None of them got light. Only my light is so strong. And she doesn't know how to contemplate conceited mind as conceited mind. Consider mind as consider mind, and she was swallowed by refinements. Right? Therefore, it's very important. This all refinements is watching you and trying to attack you at any time, any moment when you are not mindful. Or when you take your mental state as myself, and you are not mindful of your mental state, and the refinement come in and attack you very strongly, and yet you do not even know. You do not even know you have become conceited. Because you are not aware of your mental state. Therefore, to me, to be able to aware of the mental state is more important than have deep concentration. My opinion. Because all refinement come from the mind. Right? Therefore, some people, the more she practice, the more conceited she become. Why? Some people practice 20 years, ego still very strong. Do you notice that? Why? Simply because she cannot note her mind. She's not aware of her mind. She can have jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. But she also can become very conceited. Because she's not aware of her mental state. Therefore, I feel deeply feel that the concentration has to go together with contemplating impermanent. The concentration has to go hand by hand with hand. with contemplation of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Otherwise, you only get caught in concentration, and you are not moving forward. And the defilement, greed, hatred, and delusion do not decrease, but increase. And other people doubt about your dharma. You say you have jhana, but your behavior is not as good as me. Your behavior, I see your conceit, your anger, your delusion, as strong as me. I have no jhana, right? But your defilement not lighter than me. So people doubt about the dharma, doubt about your achievement. And when people doubt about you in this way, you feel depressed. And yet you do not know how to note depressed mind as depressed mind. Then you get caught in the defilement again. So there's no end to it, right? No end to it. So very important to contemplate your mind. Okay? Try to be watchful about your mind. When it arises, apply mindfulness. Later on, apply wisdom. When it disappears, also know it. Contemplate it as impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Right? And I think I need 3 lessons to finish my talk. Already 10 o'clock. And later on, I have to teach you how to discern cause. What is the cause for the arising of refinement? But I have no time to share with you. Then I have to share with you how to contemplate internally as well as externally other people's mind. That I have to share with you again. Anyway, today we have not enough time. Tomorrow I will play the tip, contemplation of mind. Then whatever point that is missing, then I will fill up the gap. Okay? So try today, try to learn how to contemplate your mental state. You can sit in a formal sitting, you can start with anapanasati, but when there's a disturbances of the mind, for example the sound, you say the sound disturb me so much, I hate, and yet you are sitting there hating the sound. That's not beneficial at all, right? You're wasting your time and develop what? Anger in you. So when you hate the sound, watch your mind. Irritating mind as irritating mind, irritating mind as irritating mind, and see how the mind subsides or increases or decreases and how the mind changes. That is cannot be controlled. The other land is not belong to me. I cannot ask them, no walking, you cannot work, they have to earn money, right? So we cannot be selfish as well. But we must learn how to contemplate our mind. Therefore, Buddha said, if you are not skillful in reading other people's mind, you must skillful in reading your mind. I love this verse so much. Okay, thank you so much for today.